Morning again to everyone. So my name is Jill. It's my turn to do the motivation for this morning. As we take a moment to settle a bit and prepare our minds for the teachings of Geshe-la, let's pause for just a moment to reflect why we came here today. For whatever reason it was, we can assume that we were motivated simply by the desire to be happy. And we may ask ourselves, is it true that actually every decision we make is for the sole purpose to be happy? It seems we try and try every day, all day, to be happy. So how is it working for you? Are you happier? One reason many of us come here is to discover just what it is that will bring us a lasting happiness. So now let's reflect on what the chances are that we are actually sitting in front of the very person who has the knowledge we need to bring about our understanding of real happiness. We are resting here comfortably, safe, clothed well, fed, nurtured, with no threats upon us, and we're ready to learn. And behind our teacher is a view of the 21 Taras, Kala Chakra, and we have Lama Tisha, who brought the Dharma back to Tibet and wrote The Lamp on the Path. And we have Lama Tsongkhapa, who expanded upon those teachings and gave us the commentary, the Lam Rim, that we study today. And then there's the Buddha, who became enlightened and said he would remain here in the form of teachers. There are photos of Lama Yeshe and Lama Zopa Rinpoche, who had such fondness for the Westerners that they started centers all around the world just so that we could have the Dharma taught to us. Then there's our precious photo of His Holiness the Dalai Lama, who escaped Tibet carrying only the Lam Rim with him. There's a photo of Geshe-la's precious teacher, Khenpo Rinpoche, who, if you've met him, you may be smiling right now, just picturing Geshe looking upon his teacher. It's all right here. And us, we are given the choice to attend a place where the teachers come to us. It's so easy. It's all so available. And here we sit together with this collective karma to have the Dharma handed to us on a silver platter. And all we have to do is decide to get out of bed and come. How many places are there in the entire world where the Dharma is truly this accessible? With every being on the planet, how many are even able to receive teachings at all? What is the percentile that we actually fall into? Just do the math and you'll see. It's very, very, very small. You alone and us together have created the causes and conditions to live in a city with a thriving Buddhist center and two resident Geshes that are all here to serve you. So today, let's open our hearts to receive the teachings with gratitude for Geshe-la and the vast lineage present here so that we may truly realize the teachings, become ultimately happy, and eventually enlightened and be of the most benefit to all beings.
From the Gold Prayer Book, please turn to page 34. And if you don't have the Gold Prayer Book, but you have a white binder, please turn to the page titled Kadampa Center Prayers. And we'll chant Shakyamuni Buddha's mantra three times. Teyata mune mune maha munaye soha te ta om ne mune maha munaye soha te ta om ne mune maha munaye soha. And now let's read Medicine Buddha's a stanza and mantra. So if you have the white binder, it's on the blue sheet. Bhagawan with equal compassion for all, whose name when merely heard dispels the suffering of the lower realms, dispels of disease and the three poisons, I prostrate to Medicine Buddha, lapis light. Teyatam bekande bekande maha bekande bekande rata samugate soha. Teyatam bekande bekande maha bekande bekande rata samugate soha. Teyatam bekande bekande maha bekande bekande rata samugate soha. Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande rata samugate soha. Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande rata samugate soha. Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande rata samugate soha. Teyata om bekande bekande maha bekande bekande raja samugate soha. Now let's read the four measurables in English three times. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends and hatred for enemies. Now we turn to page 37. On the bottom of the page, there are two mantras. So let's chant the mantra of Chenrezig eight times. So he is the embodiment of all the Buddha's great compassion and wisdom, and then Green Taurus mantra seven times. She's the deity of enlightened activity. Om Mani Padme Hum. 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 Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Mani Padme Hum. Om Tare Tu Tare Tu Re Soha. 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 Thank you. The children are welcome to go to their classes.
Good morning. So what is it called, this big ball? What's it called?
Big ball?
Oh. Singing ball. So that means our singing is getting better. Now the ball is huge.
Donated to it.
Well, maybe meditation is getting better because ball is getting better and bigger. reciting mantras. You know, we recite mantras, so very happy to see the kids, children, they're reciting. So there's one way to benefit, if you're not saying too much water, you know. So they recite mantras, so they get benefit. Mantra is a sacred word, sacred word. So definition of mantra is not something that you say again and again, then it becomes mantra, you know. So otherwise, you know, something that you say again and again does not become mantra. Otherwise you can just say pizza, 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 then that's not a mantra. You know, mantra. The something you say again and again. Of course, mantra you say again and again. But saying again and again doesn't become mantra. So the meaning, the definition of mantra, you know, mantra called nga, sunga. Yi chops, you know, it protects our mind, it protects our minds. It protects our minds. Protect your mind. So that's the meaning of the, or meaning or definition of mantra. So protect your mind. Yi chop. Yi, mind, chop means protect. Yi chop, that's the definition of mantra. So then reciting mantra, of course, like Tara mantra, reciting Tara mantra really, you know, like transform negative things into positive, you know, Tara mantra. So so the reciting, like, chanting mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum, so there's the mantra here written around this in the prayer wheel. So this prayer wheel filled with the mantra power, there's a million of mantras. So when you turn around, so then you think the well-being of all living beings, then you turn, you know, so that create positive energies, or somehow it benefits. Oh, that's called prayer wheel. So the six-level mantra is written outside, because six-level mantra, so the inside, there's millions of mantra, you know, filled inside the wheel. So then somehow it helps you to develop, you know, compassion. So ninja when it good, compassion heals everybody. The power of compassion. So the power of compassion heals, you know, everybody. So there's what ninja it also fulfill all the wishes. So, not a negative one, but positive one. Not the negative one. All those positive wishes. So they recite a mantra. You recite. Someone hears. You know, they also like. They get benefit. You know. So, I just want to share that with you. So then, before we start the class, maybe would you please mind to take one moment to introduce to yourself. Okay, so then after the class, start class.
Thank you.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. Very good. Are we done with the karma or no? Are we done with the karma or no? So as I mentioned last Sunday, you know, so the book, I think this book is already translated in English, translated into English. This is called Liberation in Palm of Your Hand. Liberation in Palm of Your Hand. You can probably look at there, so it's already translated. So then please, you know, if you are interested, you can read in the karma sections. So then if you have any question, if you don't understand or confused, then you can write it down, put it here. So then I will try all my best, okay? This book is called Liberation, Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand, okay? Namdul Lhasa, written by one of the Tibetan masters. So going through, you know, each section, you'll go like, maybe I'll go for like this, or we all go like this, into deep meditation. Please read Liberation in the Palm of Your Hand, you know. This is like called Lamrim, stages of the path to free ourselves, you know, from all the problems. So, so in that book you can just read the, even though there's many, many different, you know, topics, so you can just read the karma sections and see if they make sense. Or if you don't understand, then put it down, then I'll try all my best, okay? So now today's topic is, we divide it into different, like, subtopic, but actually all the topic is based on 7-point mind training text. 7-point mind training text. So then, you know, even though I'm not reading the book, you know, But this is also based on that book. So if you wonder, you know, so there's a book called 7-point mind training text called Lojong Tenjima. Ten means, you know, point. Jima means seven. Tenjima. Lojong, so mind. Lo, mind. Jong, train. Mind train. So, Every day, that we, regardless, Tibetan, American, Asian, white, black, we all think, we have mind, we all think. It's not like, people who are Buddhist, they only have the mind and nobody else has mind. That's not true. We all have mind, we all think. So there's so much problem created by that, by our thought. So much problem created by our thought. Our thought. So that, therefore, the mind needs to be trained, guide, how to think something, you know, something positive, okay? So here, today, the topic is how to practice bodhicitta. How to practice bodhicitta? That Sanskrit word, bodhicitta, Sanskrit word. In Tibetan it's called Changchub Gyatsen. It's a much longer word. Changchub Gyatsen. Changchub, body, for the sake of knowledge, you know. Bodhicitta. Body refers to fully enlightenment. Fully enlightenment? Chitta is the mind, you know, mind. So mind, the desire for enlightenment. For what? Just to benefit, that's all. Just to benefit. For whom? Every breathing, living being. Not just American, no. not just Tibetan. Every breathing living being, sentient beings or sentient beings, I choose word breathing living beings, you know. Every breathing living being, so bodhicitta, body fully enlightenment, citta mind, the desire for fully enlightenment for what? Just to benefit. For whom? Every breathing living being. Oh, that's all. Oh, that's bodhicitta. Oh, Chanchukya seems. Oh. So now the question, right? Question. What we should do? What we should do to develop this kind of, you know, attitude or mindset? What is required? What is required? Right now, when we look at you and me, all of us, unless you are enlightened, so then that's no exceptional. This person called enemy. This person called stranger. The person called friend. Just imagine the three beings in front of you. Just imagine and look at them. Is your mind equal towards these three objects or not? So based on that, then we talk about universal compassion. Like, if universal compassion exists, then the question is how to develop that, what is required to develop this kind of attitude when you look around, men, women, children, white, black, Asian, American, everybody, when you look around. How you can expand your loving kindness, compassion towards all this being, how you can expand, what it requires. So there's a question that, you know, I need to ask, that you need to ask, you know, we all need to ask, that's the question we need to ask. Oh, bodhicitta sounds wonderful. There's, you know, like altruistic attitude for every well-being of every breathing living being. Sounds very wonderful. The question is how to develop. What is required? How to develop? Our perceptions towards others needs to be changed. Not by force, not by threat, not by weapon, by reason, no, by reason, no. So our perception towards others needs to be changed, otherwise altruistic attitude, bodhicitta is just word between your lip, that's all. Even the parrot can say, parrot, you train them, they can also say bodhicitta, you can say, no, you can teach parrot, like maybe try sometimes, you might need to repeat bodhicitta, eventually the parrot will learn. Then for the parent will say bodhicitta. The same father said very well, bodhicitta, the perfect pronunciation. What it means? Nothing. You know, compassion. Yeah, just between the word between your lips. What it means? Not much. What it means? Not much. So there's huge gap between compassion, bodhicitta, and your heart. Where you can put king-size bed or queen-size bed. So that's why, you know, so the other doesn't benefit much. So now, our perceptions towards others need to be changed. So that change, that changing the perceptions requires reason, not just reason, profound reason. So now, yeah, so what do you do? Like how you develop altruistic attitude, how you develop perceptions, you know, perception towards enemy, friends, stranger needs to be changed. Without that, you can say equanimity 100 times, doesn't mean much. You can say bodhicitta, doesn't mean much, it's just word. So it requires the in order to develop bodhicitta, what I need, what you need, this special extraordinary compassion, called saksam. I myself, I will not wait for someone else, I myself will help all breathing living beings. I myself initiate, you know, whatever the practice that I need to be do, need to be done in order to benefit every breathing living beings. So, you know, I myself take responsibility. So that's called, that's the direct cause for the sake of knowledge. That's the direct cause for bodhicitta, altruistic attitude, okay, bodhicitta, the direct cause. Oh. Called saksam, saksam ninja is called saksam. Saksam is extraordinary mind. Ninja, you know, in Sanskrit called compassion, or no, not in Sanskrit called compassion, Sanskrit is called karuna. In English it's called compassion. That Tibetan is called Nyingje Chenpo, Nyingje Chenpo, Nyingje, Nyingje Chenpo. Saksam Nyingje, the extraordinary compassion, that's the direct cause for bodhicitta. Cause for or cause of? Cause up or cause for? Cause of, you know, cause of bodhicitta. Cause of bodhicitta. So equanimity, no, equanimity is not then, no, like, I'm not saying that I have any experience, I have zero experience, I have no experience, I just have, you know, I study all of that, you know, like, more than 20 years in the monastery, so that's why I just intellectually know them. It does not mean I have experience, I don't have any experience. Yeah, but make sure that you don't misunderstood, you know, so I don't have any experience, but I only know them how to talk about, how to talk about this, you know. Equanimity, you know, so first need to equalize our mind or change our perceptions towards those three objects, change our perception. How you're going to do that? How you're going to do? Oh, that person is called enemy. Why is it called enemy? Because that person did something for you. Or maybe say something, or probably give you some kind of look. Doesn't require much. Doesn't require much to become somebody, become enemy. Does it require much? Somebody give you some look. It's over. That person, you level that person enemy because of that, because of some look. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea what kind of relationship you have with you, between you and that person? Do you have any idea how deep that goes? Any idea? Connections between us, connections. You know, it's not based on appearances, you know, appearances, not based on that, you know, it's the connection. So that's the most important things that everybody should understand. There is, if somebody says there's no connection, it's wrong. There is connections. That connection, according to these instructions, how to develop bodhicitta, according to that instructions, that connection is very deep. And that connection is deeply rooted in loving kindness and care and compassion. Oh, it's not just connections, deep connections, deeply rooted in loving kindness and care. Oh. How? Just think about it. I'm just explaining. I'm not convincing you to believe. I'm just explaining whatever they said in the, you know, instructions. Just think about life, your life. Is this the first time you become human? Is this the first time you become human? What is your answer? What is our answer? This is the first time that you become like a walking, breathing, living being? Oh, before that you are like tree? What?
I don't remember.
I mean, what's the chances to be tree or be other living beings? Great chance to be become like piece of rock or piece of tree or like some kind of like fabric hanging in the room or what?
Great chance to be human or a human
being. I'm not convincing you to believe in something. I'm just explaining. I'm just explaining. That needs a question need to be asked. You know, how many different types of birth? How many different types of birth? There's four different types of birth. Birth from womb. Birth from egg, then birth from heat, then miracle birth. It's called miracle birth. Is there only four or there's more? If there's more, please just tell me. If there's more birth, is there only four types of birth or there's more? According to Buddhism, there's no Buddhist, Buddhism, there's four types of birth. So it's hard to know. So first question is like, is this the first time I'm becoming within living being? Then that question needs to be answered somehow. If it's not the first time, well, maybe I don't remember. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I don't remember either. Makes sense. It does not mean no. I don't remember. Does not prove there's nothing before this. Doesn't prove that. You know, so many things that you do day to day life, you don't remember. Doesn't mean that it never happened. It did happen. You know, day to day life, even this life. You know, in my case, like almost 40 years, more than 40 years, so many things happened. I don't remember every one of them. Does not mean it didn't happen. It did happen, but I don't remember. You know, so. I'm just throwing, you know, something to think about. if your answer is, oh no, this is not the first time I become breathing living beings, or before that I was breathing living beings. If that's the answer, then it's logically it doesn't make sense. There's only one. How you prove that? There's only one. So what is the cause of this life? This cause, there we have body, and something there we have things. There are people, some people call brain, some people call mind. So now, even now, you know, since like last 30 years, there's like discussion between scientists and Buddhism. So then, you know, they are not discussing about life before this life, after that. They are not discussing that. They are discussing about, now, slowly, so probably they are wondering. I don't think they believe, but they are wondering. Maybe there's something beyond brain. Something beyond brain. And one thing, I think I was very, amazed me. Like when we cry, when they analyze the brain, there's one part of brain that kind of blinks, or something that blinks the brain. Where there's like sad cry, or heavy cry, the brain just cannot distinguish. It blinks the same spot, it just blinks. But that's one tear is coming out of sadness, one tear is coming out of joy. But the brain, that different part of the brain doesn't blink. Same brain that blinks. Blink or maybe kind of like...
Pulse.
Yeah, kind of like, no, like, I'm not sure what to say. Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. That's interesting. But mind, yeah, you as a person do know that whether crying out of sadness or joy, you know. The brain cannot distinguish that. You know, the same part of brain kind of like moves or something like that or anyway. So body, what is this? This is the result or product of sperm and egg. That's what it is. It's hard to believe. When you put the sperm and egg together, if you say, oh, this becomes this, it's hard to believe. who's going to believe that? Nobody's going to believe. That's exactly what it is. That's what it is. You know, so like, You say, I don't think so, that's me. So you do another. So that is the cause for this body. That's what it becomes like this now. Then there's mind. There's something they think. No, just want all kinds of things, you know, good, all kinds of things. What is about that? What is the cause of that? That's the kind of logic they use in the teachings, you know, like to analyze. Okay, oh. So, my point here is like, what is most important to understand is the deep connections between you and others, deep connections. If you think there's no connections, then it is almost impossible to develop bodhicitta. How are you going to develop bodhicitta? How are you going to show compassion towards something that you label as enemy? How are you going to develop compassion towards that? If you cannot develop compassion towards that, then your compassion become, it doesn't become universal compassion. It becomes, you know, it's like now feeling close to someone, feeling distant to someone. That's not how you develop universal compassion. So now whole point, you know, here, like, there's like instructions, six cause and one result, how to develop bodhicitta. There's one instruction. The second instruction is like exchanging one with others, exchanging one with others. So, you have anything to say, please? How to develop universal compassion towards these three objects? Enemy, stranger, friend. How we are going to equalize our perception towards this? How? Please say something. How?
Meditation.
What kind of meditation? Yeah, please say something. Like, so that's the reason I'm asking this. This is a very critical point. So then after that I'll explain how to equalize or how to change our perceptions when you visualize, oh, so and so, John. I really hate that John, the way he talks, and the way he looks from head to toe. Everything that he does is like makes me really, really angry. Oh, like Sam, I don't care, no Sam, no. He goes like, he goes on the feet, I don't care. He goes on his head, I don't care. So there is no says like Patrick. So yeah, everything that I really care, I really love that. How we can change our perceptions towards those three
beings. Put yourself in their shoes.
Huh?
Put yourself in their shoes.
Oh.
I had an argument with my roommate.
Hold on 1 second.
And
can you hold use the mic?
Put yourself in their shoes?
Put yourself it's an aphorism meaning try to think about what their experience is.
Okay.
In other words,
So
this morning, you know, we were able to understand that, well, I was able to understand that he went through a lot of pain in his younger life, and a lot of people did a lot of horrible things to him, and sometimes he becomes a real nasty person. And so the only way that I was able to forgive and have compassion for him was to imagine what it would feel like to have been him in when he was going through what he went through.
Wonderful. Very good. Very good. Very good. So see, understanding their situations, right? Understanding their situations. That's what you mean, put yourself into their shoes. Yeah, that's very good. I'm not sure about put yourself in the shoes. I'm not sure about that. But you know, understanding their situations. Yeah, it's American English. That's a very good learn. Kind of put yourself into their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I need to learn this.
I think also
the American version of bodhicitta, put yourself into their shoes.
That's right. Yeah. English is funny. I think also being able to see what it is that we have in common, right? And what we share in common, everyone, is that we all want to be happy, as the Dalai Lama says, and no one wants to suffer. Mm-hmm. I think when we can realize that we all want happiness, we don't want to suffer, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from, no matter what station in life, no matter what your situation may be, you know, that really helps. And I think that's the beginning of developing this equalizing, being able to have compassion for others.
Very good. So, excuse me, let's go. This is the one. That's very good. So,
we have one more.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Well, I guess the first issue is, what is labeling these three people an enemy, a friend, or a stranger? Mm. Once they're labeled, that means you've already committed an act of separation, segregation, or whatever. So the entity that labels these things is your brain, which is programmed to preserve your body as a flight or fight organ. So if you just are able to recognize that your brain is labeling something and dismiss it, I think that's step one. So if you admit the validity of the word stranger, then it's very hard to go backwards. If you just dismiss the word enemy to begin with, then that makes that job easier.
Mm.
That's part one.
Dismiss what? Dismiss means? Leave it alone.
Yeah, if you just ignore it.
Oh.
Right. And the second thing is, I've come to understand that what we do to others, we're doing to ourselves at the same time.
Mm.
So if you label someone an enemy, you're actually labeling yourself an enemy of someone else. And that is a very difficult situation.
Mm.
So it is very important to understand, at least in my visions, that we are all the same light at the same time, inseparable, and therefore there is no such thing as an enemy or a stranger. For whatever reason, the person isn't a stranger.
Mm.
I don't know that. That's above my pay grade.
Huh?
That's above. You know, if we're, how many times we've met and all that, that's a different story.
Okay.
Right? But the basic issue is that we have to be very aware of this mirror that is there all the time. When we look at someone, we're looking at ourselves. And if we label them, that means we're labeling ourselves. That's it.
Yeah, so that's another very interesting point you raised, like doing something for others, like this, like equivalent to doing to yourself. And how we are going to understand that, and what is required? Why? How we are going to understand doing something for other is doing for your, is like doing for yourself. So that's very important. Yeah, important, very important points. So another question is, how I will understand that doing something for other is doing something for me? How I'm going to understand? Then what is required? That's very, very critical point you raise. So then, you know, same thing like that you said. So this book started with the bodhicitta, it started with something else. It started with something else called, what is called small scope. It's preparing you to develop bodhicitta. So then it kind of like collect, it kind of, it has to gather all the information that you needed in order to change your perceptions towards every living beings. So the gentleman said, both of them, raised a very critical point. Putting yourself into somebody into
putting yourself in their shoes.
Putting yourself into their shoes or their pant or their whatever it's called. put in the back. Better say put in the back so they're more safe to walk around the back. Put in your shoes, probably just wear shoes then finish. Oh, sorry, just joking. So now, you know, like, that, you know, some of you think, oh, well, he's been saying this again, 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 but there's a point. Why I say it again, there's something that needs to think again, again, otherwise our perception is not going to change. Or hear sometime one word, then don't hear like after a few years. It's not, that's not how the mind perception is going to change. Perception, in order to perception to change, need to think again and again, 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 again. Need to think. Otherwise, perception is not going to easily change. Otherwise, everybody will be liberated. Everybody will be liberated. So, now the point in the first, how to equalize our perception towards these three beings. That's most. Without that, bodhicitta becomes just word between your lip, that's all. Means nothing. No? That's how the meditation began, in how to develop bodhicitta. Begin with equanimity. Equanimity? Equanimity. Oh, that's how it began, equanimity. It's very important. So, enemy, there's no definite enemy. There's no definite enemy. You're just mind level because somebody gives you some look. It's not like because somebody took off your one ear. It's not like that. Somebody just give you look, then you level, that's enemy. So there's no definite enemy. No, there's no definite enemy. Why? Today's best friend. Almost, you can almost feel like you can give your heart to that person. Few unguarded words, then you exaggerate. He says, she says, whatever she says. Few unguarded words, probably say something, you know. So then you exaggerate that word. Tomorrow, the best friend becomes the worst enemy. What that indicates, you know, friend become enemy, enemy become friend. There's no definite friend, definite enemy. It just, it becomes, you know, becomes ghost based on causes and conditions. Those causes and conditions can be prevented if your mind is trained. If your mind is trained well, so, you know, you don't exaggerate. A few unguarded words, you just let it roll over. Let it roll. How is it? Let it roll over.
Roll off.
Yeah, roll off your back. So if you train your mind, you roll. How is it?
Let it roll off your back.
Oh, there's too many things now. Yeah, let it roll up your back. Also, that let it roll up your back requires some some knowledge. It requires some knowledge. It won't happen automatically. It requires some knowledge. It won't happen automatically. Otherwise, everybody will be liberated. Liberated means free from problems. We look around. So then some of the problem, very obvious, you see the person has been like stressed because somebody treated them, did not treat them very well. You see the very obvious. Based on that problem, that difficulty that person is experiencing, say if somebody is crazy, they just do all kinds of things. Once you realize, as soon as you realize that person is crazy, you can tolerate it. You can tolerate it. No, because when you see human nature, what you call Buddha nature, that's goodness. Goodness, it's not evil, it's goodness. you do feel sympathy if somebody's suffering, you sympathize with them. It's not like you jump up and down like, great, no, he's suffering. No, nobody does that. Nobody. Nobody does that. People feel bad. So that's very obvious. Do our understanding a problem go deep enough? That's the question. Is go deep or is just superficial? Does go deep? Oh, so that's what four noble truth. So the first one is called truth of suffering. Do our understanding of suffering or complication problems go deep enough? Then we look around, you know, everybody is their life, everybody's lives greatly influenced by, you know, like first noble truth. Your understanding doesn't matter if somebody has headache, doesn't matter. So your understanding of problems go much deeper than headache or some physical problems. It go much deeper. Even though somebody looks okay, it does not mean they're okay. Everybody has tons of problems. No, but you can't judge that based on how they look and what kind of career they have, what kind of like lifestyle they have. No, you can't judge based on that. Oh, so you may have like billions of dollars, but at the same time, you are deeply, their lives deeply impacted by, influenced by this fourth great river, you know, according to text. So that's why these books begin with a small scope, kind of prepare you to build the foundations for universal compassion, altruistic attitude. So then when you look around, doesn't matter how they look, what kind of job, how much money, there is not, your understanding of problems is not based on that. It goes much deeper. So maybe it's possible that you could develop compassion towards all breathing living beings, because all these breathing living beings are not free from that, for rivers. Oh, so that's one way to look. So, very good, you know, the point you raised. Minute we understand some kind of their lives influence, not just influence, greatly influenced by some kind of problems, when you see that, then you sympathize. Otherwise, you think, oh, that person looks okay, you know. Yeah, we do all the time. Someone begging on the side of the street, we look at them, their physical look at them, say, oh, why that? Before we give anything, we just say so many things. Not shout, but in your mind. Probably, you know, who knows, maybe that person is going to. So, like, you know, according to Buddhism, the problem is much, much deeper, much more complex and deeper, profound than we know. Oh. So now that's very good. So anybody else want to say something about, you know, how to change our perceptions towards all breathing living beings and how we can see them something, how do you say, this is, as I mentioned, there's two instructions. One is like six cause and one result. There's one instructions, and studying these instructions, there's one way to develop or meditate on bodhicitta. So the another one is exchanging oneself with others. There's second instructions. There's two separate instructions how to develop this altruistic attitude or bodhicitta. So now, according to the second instructions, exchanging oneself with others, Nobody. No matter how you look and how much money you have, you know, what kind of car you drive, what kind of car, the house you live in, and what kind of clothes you wear, and like what kind of age you are in, does not matter. Every one of us, from newborn child to all the way to President of the United States, what do we do? We are looking for happiness every single moment. Am I right? We all do. We all, even the bird, squirrel, everybody doing that same thing. Do we understand that? Do we understand? Oh, we think, oh, that person is looking for problems. So you just said that person is looking for troubles. So maybe give them some problems. This is a mistake. Nobody. Nobody looking troubled. Nobody. Even the has the slightest, slightest problem. Has the slightest. Nobody. If you assume somebody looking for problem, that's a mistake. That thought leads you into suffering. That thought, you have to be careful. That thought will create you more suffering, more problems. Nobody, even one slightly problem, that's equal. You don't have extra reason to, you don't have extra, everybody equal. Nobody content. When it's come down, happiness, nobody's content. Nobody. Everybody looking more. That's the fact. It's nothing to do with Buddhism. It's the fact. Therefore, on that basis, there's no difference between you and me. I'm the one who like deserve more happiness, but you don't. It's not. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. If you feel that you deserve more than anybody else, that's a mistake. That's a mistake in mind. Baba Shela, Chavayami, there's no difference between you and me when it comes down on that. There's no difference. Therefore, number wise, you are just one. You are just one, that's all. You're just one. Number wise. Therefore, just wish something good for others. Wish something good for others is number-wise more. But you are just one. Wish something good, something wonderful. Then you are kind of like, you know, begging, like, bless me to able to cherish others. That's the road to happiness. Road to happiness. Oh, easy to say, but you know, unfortunately, it's my turn to say. I will ask you to say, but you know, somebody has to say. So, in this case, I'm the one who's saying it. So it's already been said. I'm just repeating. There's nothing new to say. Whatever needs to be said, it's already been said. It's just repeating here. There's nothing new to say, you know. Just me, that's most important than anything else. Just me, that attitude is considered as a chronic disease. Chronic disease. That needs to be healed, you know. Just do research, analyze. Don't just accept what I said, analyze. Analyze, throughout the day, analyze. Rani cheva zubi chone. The best, think something wonderful for others, the best, wonderful. If not, how is it? Share. How is it? Don't get jealous. Share. So may all friends be happiness, cause of happiness, been saying that a long time. All of a sudden your friends become so happy that you wonder, what happened? Did you take some drugs or what? Like, why are you so happy now? What it means all friends be happy, cause of happiness? I mean nothing, no, just what? Nothing, no. They all of a sudden they look at, like, not look with loving kindness, look at like, kind of what, like, I did you talk some drugs or what, like, so sad, get jealous, you know? No, no, no. Rani cheva zubi chongne, it's very important. Rani cheva zubi chongne is chronic disease. Chronic disease, never been healed. It needs to be healed, never been healed. So, chongne, mije dunga chebi jutongne, need to understand. That is the one bringing all the problem to you. You need to understand that very clearly. That's why all the problem is coming to you, because of that. Not because you cherish other people so much because of that you are not. It's not, that's wrong understanding. That's a mistake. Because of that attitude, everything has to be about me, you know. So as I sometimes jokingly said, so you do divide, how you say, your chores in your house, or you make the bed. I will do this, you know, you do that, you know. So let's say somebody's doing all the laundry all the time. So that person asks you to do laundry. So now that's a very serious thing. When you ask me to do laundry, that's a very serious thing. We need to sit down and have multiple meetings. When and how many times? When you are doing it, that's okay. We don't need a meeting, so you can do it like that. Rani, Chevazumi, Chone. Throughout the day, just examine your mind. Is that happening? Is that happening? It is happening all the time. It's happening all the time. It's like really like every day, how many thoughts pops up? How many thoughts? Out of that, how many of them are like good, healthy? And how many of them are negative? Now you wonder why you are suffering, you wonder. Don't think that because you are neighbor. That's a mistake. Could be cause, there could be condition, but the main is here. No? Okay, we have to see that is the source of all the problem. We have to see that, not just talk, we have to see that. So that's the something needs to be looked for. Something needs to be look out. So now back to this, how to develop bodhicitta, So then that's the way to change your perceptions. So before you think, oh, that person, you know, does not deserve my love or kindness or compassion. That person deserves suffering. That's dead wrong. How you say dead wrong? That's in America, that's how you say dead wrong. I'm not sure what that means. It means very wrong or something like that. That's not right. Nobody deserves suffering. Nobody deserves suffering. Everybody equally deserves happiness. You become the cause for that. Then your happiness begins. If you become the cause for that, then your happiness begins. Then you feel your life has purpose. Then you will feel your life is meaningful. Because why? Because you become the cause for their happiness. That's why. You feel purpose in your life, life become meaningful. So, first and foremost importance is to change our perceptions, equalize our perceptions towards these three beings. Then after that, we need to focus on connections between you and me. Connections. According to instructions, this connection is like connection between mother and child. Mother and child, that kind of connection, very deep. When you are born, only being there you feel comfortable is your mother. You are carrying in their stomach, in their belly, Dagushachu, 9 months, 10 days, generally speaking, probably. During that period, the mother is very careful what they eat, what they do, because of your sake of your happiness. We don't born like this. We think, oh, I was born like this. That's wrong. We don't born like this, generally speaking. In the spring, how much the mother sacrificed for your well-being. When you grow up, you forget. If you feel like, oh, I was like born like this, that's the mistake. You don't born like that. When you born, what you can do? Nothing. You can do nothing. You can't even feed yourself. How you're going to survive? Everyone, we survive out of the care of mothers, their loving kindness, their care. Touch when you cold, they touch their bodies or make you give some heat. Oh, when they cry, then you know, like, how much sleep do you lose? Mother lose all of that. that kind of connections. It's like, as I said, there is connection. If somebody says there's no connection, it's wrong. There's connection. It's not just connection, it's deep connections, and that's deeply rooted in loving kindness, care. That's the kind of connection you have. If you understand that kind of connection, that will help you to develop the universal compassions, okay? Always looking at you with the loving kindness, how much physically, mentally, how much the mother sacrificed for your well-being. Do we ever remember that? Do we ever try to remember that? Do we ever meditate on that? Do we ever meditate on that? Oh, we are so busy with quarter of it, so all kind of thought to remember that. That's the mother. So, that's why, as I mentioned before, is this the first time that you become a living being or not? If not, if you be born before this, then there's only four type of birth that you go through. There's no five, there's only four. No, then first two, more likely, it's hard to believe that you go through all that sort of miracle birth. That's hard to believe. Then, if you go through birth from egg, require mother. If you go through the womb birth, they require mother. Oh, so like that, no? Oh. So after when you guys equalize your perception towards these three beings, so then you need to think, focus on connection between you and others, not just connection, deep connections. Oh. If there's a case that every being in this room sacrificed so much for my well-being, if that's the case, I'm not trying to convince you to believe, I'm just explaining what's been said in the instructions. Oh. May open some door to new thought. Oh. If that's the case, everyone living beings, everyone, they sacrifice so much for my well-being, then I feel moral responsibility for their happiness. That thought can, there's a good possibility that thought can be developed. What you get? You get immense benefit. You get immense benefit. Just think about. that. Then you remember their kindness. First course. Connections between you and others. That's first. That's the one way to think about, One way, if this is the first time I've become a breathing, living being, it's happened before, and happened multiple times, and how far? Based on that, has the instructions, then you could develop this thought that every being sacrificed so much for my happiness. That's one way to develop. So point here is deep connections. In that way, if you develop this, thought, then recalling their kindness, how much they sacrifice, recalling their kindness. So there's a second course. Six course and one result. The first one is to understand the connections. The second, then recall their kindness. There's a second course. Then the third course, and the repair the kindness. This is all for the sake of knowledge. How the bodhicitta has been developed based on instructions. This instruction, that's how the altruistic attitude has been developed for the second knowledge, okay? Remember the kind, understanding the deep connection between you and others, whatever ways, that's why I'm asking, whatever ways, that's very important. Before that, changing, equalizing our perception towards three beings, that's first thing. Second, then connections. So then there's a connection, there's a first cause. So then remembering the kindness, how much they sacrifice, there's a second cause, okay, second cause. Then the third one is repaying kindness. Now repaying the kindness, three cause. Six cause, one result. Instructions, how to develop altruistic attitude to bodhicitta. Okay, there's three cause. So then after that, seeing everybody as something wonderful, wonderful, you know. Say, mother who has only one child. How that mother see their child? How? No matter what kind of opinion their child has, how the mother see their child is the one of the most beautiful thing in the universe. That's how the mother see the child. Like, exactly like that. You look around, you see everybody like that. Tibetan, American, white, black, doesn't matter, everybody's like that. You see, your whole, your perception becomes pure. You see that. Fourth cause. This fourth, number four, is caused by first three things. That cause of number fourth, called Yongchamba, Yongichamba. Love, that sees everything is beautiful. Everybody's beautiful. Yongi Chamba. Chamba means love. The love that sees everybody something very attractive, beautiful. Likewise, mother who has only one child, no matter how the child looks, for her, that's the most beautiful things in this universe. Like that, what you get immense benefit. Oh, I don't like that person. Look at that person, the way they dress. I don't like it because that person is not Buddhist. Oh, I don't like that person is like not Tibetan. What good it does? Nothing. It just divides people. It just divides. Oh, I don't like that person not Buddhist. Why you care? Why you care? In the first place, why you care? Why you care somebody Buddhist or not Buddhist? Why you care? Do you understand that everybody looking what happens every second? Do you understand that? That's the most important thing to understand. Then worrying about who's Buddhist or not Buddhist, what it means, it means nothing. Do your pet know that you are Christian or Buddhist? Do they care? What they care if you love them, give them good treat, if you pet them well? That's why they become close to you, not because you are Buddhist, they become close to you. That's the wrong idea. That's the wrong idea. So this is the wrong idea. How people become close to animals? Oh, because they think you are Christian. Not because of that. Not because you are Buddhist, not because of that. Because you give them love, you give them care, you become very nice to them, so that's what they know. Bound on the affections, that's what it is. Not this bound on religion. No, that's nothing wrong. See? So then the understanding the connections, recalling the karma, the sacrifice, and repaying their kindness, the first three causes, that produce, this is called Yihong Chapa, that produce the love, the unique love that allow you to see everything is beautiful, like mother who has only one child. Yihong Chapa, that's the fourth cause. No, Mahajan Tintin is a Yihong Chapa. Then Yijie Chapa, then the compassion, universal compassion will take place. Well, because all the preparation has been done, you won't jump up. Then, not just that compassion, then I myself will take whole responsibility to help all of them. Then that's called extraordinary compassion. Well, that's cause number six. Then the last one is the result, it's called bodhicitta. Bodhicitta, that's the result. Then what you had, you get bodhicitta. Can you imagine that bodhicitta, their mind, it's very like, otherwise, how you challenge the thought, oh, that person is evil. How you challenge their thought? You probably think, oh, I'm going to say some mantra, oh, mani padme hum. Probably it's hard to change their thought. Just simply saying the mantra, you may get some benefit. What do you need to do? You need to think. Think different, you need to develop different thoughts. To counter that thought, you need to develop different thoughts. So then no matter wherever you live, if you live in a cave in the middle of nowhere, the Himalayan mountain, you always feel connected, deeply connected to all living beings. Oh, so I remember two stories. There's one, I think, girl in I probably came to a Buddhist center in Jamyang, in England, London. So I had some problems with a boyfriend, you know, they break out. They break up. So then, you know, probably feel down, go, went down, they feel very bad, and going down. And their interview, so far you can see that too. That's, and then she said, I think, she said when she studied bodhicitta, so then she understanding of bodhicitta liberated her from the loneliness. Then after that, she don't feel lonely anymore. She feel connected. So that's temporary benefit. So that's the called six course, one result, instruction of six course, one result, how to develop bodhicitta. So, wait. What time we are supposed to stop?
11:50.
Oh, it's 11:59. So sorry, because each time when I come here, I hope that I'll get more break and encourage you to talk more. So then I end up talking more. So sorry. So stop here. So I finish the first instruction. Okay, like. Here is the how to practice bodhicitta. There's two instructions, and the first instructions I roughly explain six course and one result for the sake of knowledge. So then next Sunday, thinking in many ways about the faults of self-cherishing mind. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
I turn to page 246. And it's the back of the in the white binder is the back of the sheet that says Kadapa Center Prayers. And we'll read the dedication from Master Shanti. Bodhikaraya Vata. May all beings everywhere, plagued by sufferings of body and mind, obtain an ocean of happiness and joy by virtue of our merits. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever fall ill. May no one be afraid or belittled with a mind weighed down by depression. May the blind see forms and the deaf hear sounds. May those whose bodies are worn with toil be restored on finding repose. Then may the naked find clothing, the hungry find food. May the thirsty find water and delicious drinks. May the poor find wealth, those weak with sorrow find joy. May the forlorn find hope, constant happiness and prosperity. May there be timely rains and bountiful harvests. May all medicines be effective and wholesome prayers bear fruit. May all who are sick and ill quickly be free from their ailments. Whatever diseases there are in the world, may they never occur again. May the frightened cease to be afraid and those bound be freed. May the powerless find power and may people think of benefiting each other. For as long as space remains, for as long as sentient beings remain, until then may I too remain to dispel the miseries of the world. I'll turn to page 244 and 245. We'll read the short long life prayers. First for His Holiness, Dalai Lama. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. All-powerful Chenrezig Tenzin Gyatso, please remain until samsara ends. And then the one, Gyuma Ken Rinpoche, on the other side, the one who mastered speech at a very young age, the one with great patience who received the name Avatara, the one with great precision who spread the teachings of Lama Tsongkhapa on bliss and void, Lama ornament of the yellow hat tradition, please remain until samsara ends. And then for Lama Tsongkhapa Rinpoche on the opposite page, you uphold the subduer's moral way, who serve as the bountiful bearer of all. Sustaining, preserving, and spreading Majjana's victorious doctrine, who masterfully accomplished magnificent prayers honoring the three jewels, Savior of myself and others, your disciple. Please live long. Om tare tu tare tu re soha. 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 Om tare tu tare tu re soha.
Oh yeah, thank you.